I want you to be right with God. Amen. I want you to know how to be blessed by God. Amen. I want you to have the word in you. I want you to have the joy. And the first thing you got to do is praise Him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. It changes your life. And then you put your hand in the hand of the man. Hallelujah. When your children are good to you, when they make you proud, when they do good on their report card, when they do the things they're supposed to, and they're, I don't want to say obedient to you, but they respect you, you want to give to them. When you give to them and they say thank you, and they see what you've done for them, and they're thankful for what you've given them, you want to give them what? More. Your Father's in heaven. Amen. As you love Him, as you follow Him, as you read His Word, as you thank Him every day, as you praise Him every day, His heart is happy. The angels in heaven rejoice. And God wants to give you what? More. He sees your love. He sees your humbleness. He sees your compassion for others. And He wants to bless you more. Amen. That's your God in heaven. There's no, you don't need another formula. It's Him. Love Him and talk to Him. When you pray to God, it's you and Jesus in the same room, alone together. It could be in your bedroom. It could be in your car. It could be in the woods. It could be wherever you, it's just you and God sitting together. He doesn't want you to, you know, He doesn't want to hear you recite a poem. He wants you to talk to Him. Amen. He wants, how you doing today? How was your day? Tell me about, tell Him something that made you, you ever think about talking to God and thanking Him for, oh, something that happened a few years ago, you're laughing, you know, I really enjoyed that, and God said, I love to hear that story. Tell me that story again. It makes you happy. It makes my heart happy. You're fellowshipping with who? God. Because where does your blessings come from? God, amen. That's what it's all about. He loves you. He loves you. He truly does. This is the part of church where I always say, Joanne, bring us into church. I ask you today, as she's playing, let your spirit go to God. Forget about all the things. Forget about the noise. And just let Joanne's music, whatever she chooses, just bring you into a place of just peacefulness. Joanne?
You have to work some more. Thank you.
Sunday. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Let's be seated. Thank you. We read that every Sunday. It's in the book of Matthew, amen? Exactly as we read it, the Lord's Prayer, that's what we call it. I'm not sure Jesus actually wanted us to recite that exactly that way. It was a blueprint of talking to our Father where? Hallelujah. Forgive us our trespasses. It's a blueprint on how to live our life. But we read it the way Jesus has it in the Bible, amen? Because it makes our spirit feel good and it makes us know that we're reading His Word, amen? Let's do some more responses. Of reading. Miss Marilyn is getting a bullet. Her bulletins are going to become small manuals. And Marilyn and I hope that they read them, don't we, Marilyn? Yeah, take them home and read them. Some things you can put on the refrigerator, study it, and if you don't know anything, take your Bible out and read what's in the Bible. Amen? It's a good thing. Read together with us. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, for the earth is way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging,
there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells.
Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth.
He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shudders the spear. He burns the shield with fire.
He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is with us. Amen. God is with who? Hallelujah. What a celebration last night, amen? A celebration in God's house, amen? For one of our own. Give yourself praise for that last night, children. You showed what God's all about. We'll talk more about that later, but what a beautiful evening. Thank you, Lord. Testimony. As I mentioned before, Deacon Chuck and I had a talk about prayer. And what's in the Bible, and it's important to us, both of us, that what we talk about is in the Bible, amen? And now, we read the Our Father, which is in the book of Matthew, amen? Now, we talked about the Apostles' Creed, which is a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Some of it is in the book of Luke, some of it in other parts of the Bible, and then some of it was written by man. Amen? Man, after the origin, it was not called the Apostles' Creed in the beginning. They had a different name for it, but we call it the Apostles' Creed now, and there's a part of it that was added by man. I just want you to understand that. Amen? Now, one of the most beautiful prayers that I have since I was a child, and we all have, is the Hail Mary. Amen? We all know the Hail Mary. Not necessarily in the Bible. Some of it is when Elizabeth sees Mary, she said, "Blessed art thou amongst women." But she never says to pray to Mary. Nowhere in the Bible it ever says to pray to Mary. But I just tell you, if in your heart that's what you need to go and you need to pray to Mary, then you need to continue to pray that whatever the prayers God has put in your heart, when you get down and you need to say those before you talk to God, I never ever want you to stop one second. But we're talking now about what's in the Bible, amen? I want you to know what's in the Word of God so that you can have strength to deal with life, amen? So that you can have strength and a rock to stand on. You might say a prayer that somebody taught you, and I have friends of mine, very, very dear friends of mine, who pray to saints. Anybody know people that they actually, certain the different saints that they pray to? And they say, "Well, what do you say, Pastor, to that?" And I say, "Continue praying." Amen? Because in your heart, you're talking to God, and you're talking to His helpers, whatever name you want. But then I always say to him, I said, "That, here you go, you pray to that," and that's a beautiful thing because you're talking to God. Nobody should stop you from talking to God. But now if you want the power with the God, I say, you know, Jesus says, "I am. I am." says, call on me. He said, I'm your advocate. Who died on the cross for you? None of the saints, amen? Nobody. He died on the cross for us. And the Resurrection Sunday we're going to be having in a few weeks is our victory dance, amen? It's our victory over death with Jesus. And he says, anything you ask in my name, he said, my name. So I just tell these people with love, because it is love that they're talking about. When you pray to the saints, that saint has to get up, find where Jesus is somewhere. Then get him, talk to Jesus, and then come back and give you the answer that you were looking for. And I just simply say, why don't you let him do what he's doing up there and just go right to Jesus, so whatever he was doing, he can get done. Amen? And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to be right here. Amen? I'm trying to be your pastor about what's in here. And that's what Chuck and I were talking. We talked about the Advent. And Chuck said, I really didn't find exactly what in the Bible, the Advent, because some of it was added by man. But then he said, should we do it? And I said, absolutely, because we're doing it unto who? God. Hallelujah. Now, we had talk about an altar call, and we talk about salvation. I'm going to read to you what is in the Bible, amen? And I'll let you decide, because it's not, I'm going to say it's not a big thing, but it's the only thing, because without Jesus, you have nothing. Amen? Without Jesus, you have nothing. Without Jesus, you have a religion based on something else. But Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. I am the door open to go to heaven. Amen? And he made it that easy. But people get, well, I don't, they get a little worried. So let me just read to you for a testimony for God today. This is in the book of John. This is Jesus' word. Two words? Hallelujah. I do not pray for those alone, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who will believe in me through their what?
Word.
So somebody has to say something, amen? And then in Matthew it says, Jesus says this, therefore, Jesus says this, please listen, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Let me read that again. I just want you to understand. Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying, if you confess me before men, in other words, if we stood up now and confessed Jesus before each other, Jesus said in heaven, this is what he said now. This is what he said he's going to do. He's going to confess each and every one of you to his Father in heaven. Jesus got to go say, Dad, look, there's Mary. She's confessing me. There's Bernie. He's confessing me. He has to do that. Because his word says so, amen? Confess means you have to say something. You go to, it was a boy, Catholic catechism, I was confirmed, I went to confession. Miss Cindy, right? Confession. When you go to confession, you just don't sit there. You have to do what?
Okay.
You have to say something. You have to confess. God is saying it. Now in Romans, Paul tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made. And one more I want to read to you, and I'll finish with this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, him being Jesus, and given him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'm going to give this to Marilyn, and I'm going to ask her to put this page on, in the Bible, in our prayer, in our help me bulletin. Thank you, Marilyn. I'm going to ask her to put these four scriptures in our bulletin instead of me finding a prayer, writing a prayer. Billy Graham has a little salvation prayer. I accept you, Jesus, in my heart. It's that simple. Other religions have a salvation prayer. Like I said, the Apostles' Creed is a salvation prayer of the Catholics. For you know, other churches use that, and that's what they use. But I want to ask Marilyn to put what I just read to you, those four scriptures out of this book, in the bulletin, and keep that page in the bulletin every week so you can read that and see every week that we talk about confessing Jesus to man. Amen? And that's because there's no salvation prayer in the Bible. But to me, Those are four salvation prayers, amen? Because it's all about Jesus, amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a manual, that you've given us a book, a love letter from you to tell us how to go, to tell us how to walk, how to treat others, how to treat authority, how to treat our fellow man, how to treat the poor, how to treat the needy. Thank you that you gave us a book to walk with you, to give us a way to have you work through us, Lord. To give us a way to have you react to what we're saying, because it's your word. When we put your word to you, the word becomes alive. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word, your readings that we could recite and learn and come back to you with. You said for us to ask, for us to seek, for us to knock. You said for us to pray together. You said for us to gather together. You said for us to have faith. In you, that's the way blessings begin. That's the way the blessings in our life and our family lives begin, through you. That's what changes us from the inside out. That's what changes the world, when we just simply confess you and walk with you and tell others about you and lead them to you when they're in need and show them you. With, like we did last night, the glory of a church last night on fire, the glory of your house last night, lifting one of our own up with love and people coming from everywhere to be a part of that in this church. That's what the churches are doing. That's how we lift other people up, and that's how we bring other people to God, to Christ, to you, Jesus. Thank you for this book. Thank you for these words. We're going to keep them in our bulletin, and I ask that they read them and just let them get into their spirit and know that there's a way to God, there's a path to God that has him where he has to return the blessing to you. Oh, what a beautiful place, using God's word with God. What a beautiful place to stand in. Thank you for this day, Lord. Our testimony is the world needs to know you. They're talking about religion in the world, and it's terrible, it's dark. So many evil things happening in this world in the name of religion. This is not a religion. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. The Son of God who wants to bless, who wants to love those who love him. Thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in our lives, and Lord, thank you for the things you're going to do in our lives. The things yet seen where our faith is standing out there, Lord, believing. In your precious name I pray. Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Grow what?
Weary.
While doing? Hallelujah. For in due time, in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. For God works according to his word, not man's word. Amen. God works according to whose word? His word. But it says not grow weary when doing good. Well, that means that, you know, just because you're doing good every day and nothing good is happening, you say, I'm not going to do good. I give up because I don't think God's there. No, he's listening. Amen. He's watching. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes he wants to know your heart. He said, well, are you doing it for people to see? Are you doing it for me to see? Are you doing it to help others? Are you doing it for pride? See, so he's got to watch us sometimes. You know, people got prayers out there and they want the answer like that. And God says, maybe you're not ready for that answer. Amen. So I want to be the CEO of a company. God said, I can't do that because you're not ready to be the CEO of a company. Amen. He said, you might want to run a business. And God says, you're not ready to run a business. You don't have your life in order yet for me to bless you with that business, because you'll mess up what I'm giving you, and then we both lose. Amen. It says, do not grow weary. And I tell you that there's a path, a formula. And I hate to say the word formula. I hate to say that because he's God. Amen. He doesn't jump at our whims. Amen. But when you use his word with him, he smiles. I know he smiles, and he says, well, you've used my word. Now I've got to back you up. Amen. I've got to prove that my word is right. Hallelujah. So I hate the word formula, but so we're men does not make a way. God makes a way. Say that with me. God makes a way. Hallelujah. And Paul says, not that I have already attained, Paul is saying, or am already perfected, but I press on. What does he do? He's pressing on. That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And he says, brethren, he's talking to you, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Let me tell you, some of those things behind are the worst evil things in your life. And you got to forget those things. Amen. If you bring the dirt with you to the, you're with God, and you bring dirt with you to with God, guess what? That dirt's going to be all around you, and God's not going to be able to bless you. You understand? You got to forget the things of the past. You got to let it go. If anything you carry with you, God is saying, I don't know why you're bringing that along, but it's going to mess up what I'm going to do for you, because you're going to go back to that, and no matter what I bless you with, you're going to go back to that and destroy what I'm doing for you, and then you're going to destroy me, because people are going to look at you and you say, I'm a Christian, and they're going to say, yeah, but look at you, and they say, well, I guess God doesn't work. Amen. So you got to walk with God. You got to show God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Where? Tomorrow. I press towards the goal, Paul said, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Running a race. You see, people run a race. You got to work out before you run a race. Amen. You can't just decide one day I'm going to run the 26-mile marathon. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You just can't. You got to work at it. Amen. It's a race that you're running. It's a battle that you're fighting. Amen. Whatever battle you have every day, I don't know. You don't know our battles. I don't know yours. But sometimes you might feel like there's a battle every day. Anybody ever feel that way? That sometimes you're in a battle every day. So if you're in a battle every day, you want to be the winner. You got to run through it. You got to be strong. You got to know the word, because here's what God has called you. He's called you a conqueror, David. You're a conqueror, which means you can't be a conqueror unless there's a battle that you overcome. Amen. I remember Smith Wigglesworth, one of my favorite pastors in England from way back, I read, he said, there are no great victories without a great battle. Amen. You can't have a great victory in life if you didn't have a battle to fight with it. Amen. You can't go around complacent, la la la, because that's what you'll have at the end of it. He said, you got to have the battles. You got the battles you're fighting. Whatever you're dealing with, every day, that's your battle. And do you know who all run a race? Listen to what it says here in Corinthians. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Jesus is telling us, run in such a way that you may obtain it from God. Amen? You'll say, well, everybody's running a race. Not everybody can win. You're running a race against yourself most of the time. You understand? You're running a race against you. The worst person in your life sometimes is you. Because you got all the past that you're bringing with you. And you say, well, I'm walking with God now and I got a new life and I'm trying hard. But I still want to go back and play in the bars, honey. I like the bars because all the people like me when I'm playing guitar. God said, no, I pulled you out of there. Don't you dare go back there. You got things in your life that you did that you said, boy, I'm glad God got me through that. Or you might have done some other things in life that you're not so proud about. And God's saying, you need to forget those. You might have had problems in your life. God's saying, I need to forget those. Somebody may have hurt you. Oh, this is a tough one, Pastor. People may have said things against you. And I'm mad. I'm going to get even with that. God says, you're going to get even. So I guess you're not ready for me yet. I'll see you when you're ready to forget the things of the past. Because I can't deal with you right now. Because you're still worried about the things of the past. Evidently, you don't want what's tomorrow. Amen. It's God telling you that now. He says, forget the things of the past. Worry about tomorrow. So, but you're going to carry those things with you. God's got to say, well, I'll just get out of your way and let you carry them. Amen. Hallelujah. We get in our own way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I'm fired up today. God's word is so good. God is so good. God is so good that I pray. Here's my, you want a prayer? I pray that you all get like me next week. You all come in here all fired up about God next week. That's what I pray. You come in here all fired up. I know, David, you come up and you're praising God and say, you know what God did for me this week? He got me through the week. I still got the bills to pay, but he got me through the week. I'm going to praise this God because he got me through the week. Maybe he'll bless me tomorrow. Maybe he'll bless me this afternoon. But I'm calling on God. I'm not calling on man. Are you with me? Hallelujah. We pray, we believe, and we proceed to block the gifts. We proceed, and now my wife and I got a dilemma. We got it this morning. We got a dilemma. We're going to have a christening here, brothers. We're gonna dedicate a baby in our church the Sunday after. And we received a blessing. Somebody wants to bless us that day. And the first thing out of my mouth is, oh, no, no, you don't need to do that. Oh, no, I really want. This woman said, I want to bless the church. I said, no, you don't really need to do that. And then I'm thinking, you don't even realize what you're preaching on today. And that's exactly what you're preaching against. Brothers and sisters, when you're walking with God and you're doing things to God and you don't think people see, God sees. So God brings you blessing. Do you know that? God may send somebody to you that you don't know. Say, hey, I see you're in trouble there. Can I help you? You might have a flat tire pulled off the side of the road and somebody might come over and say, oh, look, hey, look, I got a real good jacket. Who are you? Oh, nobody. I just saw you need help. And maybe God sent that person. Amen? Maybe something else, and you need some money or some financing or something, and God sees you need a little help, and somebody else sees how hard you're working, and say, hey, let me buy you lunch. No, I don't need a bit. So what are you doing? Oh, I'm working, God, I'm praying, God, God's going to help me. Well, God just tried to help you. But you said, oh, I don't need anybody. I know, I can do it myself. What's that? Pride? Ego? What does the Bible say about pride? I'm telling you something today to release you and get blessings. Pride does nothing except make you look good, and then when that person leaves, that's all you got left, is that's what you had, because that person wanted to bless you. Amen? That person wanted to give to you. As you're doing good, God is going to send blessings your way. And you know what the Bible says? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But the Bible says you're going to get it from places you didn't believe are going to give it to you. Amen? From people you don't know. God sent somebody to help you change a tire. God sent somebody to give you $5 for something. God sent somebody to, because, hey, you need a job? You know what I need? I got this guy, and we need some help. You know, if things are happening, we need help. Oh, yeah? Yeah. No, I'm waiting for another job. We get in God's way. Amen? We get in His way. You're running a race, and you're going, and you're running, and God's seeing, oh, God's up there. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, Roger. I'm so happy, and I'm proud of you, and I want to bless you. No, I don't need a blessing. I don't need anything. I'm good. So God is saying, well, I guess I'll just sit over here and wait. We pray, we believe, then we proceed to block the gifts of blessing. God is answering. Pride is denying God's blessing. Now, here's something else I want you to understand. I want you to really understand this. This will take your pride away. This will take your ego. This will take away you saying no to somebody who you may need a coat. Somebody's got a coat. No, I don't need a coat. You need shoes. No, I don't need it. When God sends somebody to bless you, and that's what I'm saying. You can say whatever you want, right, Miss Dale? But when God sends somebody to bless you that you don't know, or some friend that you love, or some people that you love want to bless you, when He wants to bless you, and you say no to the blessing, you know what you've just done? You stole that person's blessing. See, because God's up in heaven. This is His word. Given it shall be what? Given it shall be given. Amen. So God is up there saying, uh-oh, Jesus, come here, look. Uh-oh, this guy's going to give over here. Look, she's about ready to give. When they give, all right, we're going to bless that person because he's given. Look at it. He's going to do out of his heart. Oh, wait a minute. The guy didn't take the blessing. Oh, I can't bless this guy. I want to bless you, and you won't let me. Now I can't bless him either. You're stealing another man's blessing. Amen? You don't have to see it. The Word of God says that's what you're doing. You're stealing His blessing. Why? Pride. Amen? What good is the pride after you're going to, all I have to do. Okay, then that's what you got. The Bible says when you do things openly, when you do something in front of people, you got your reward. The people saw you, they clapped their hands, and that's it. You go, God said, okay, He's taken care of. But when you do things where nobody's seeing anything, when you're doing things unto God, when you're walking with God, and listen, He knows your troubles, He knows your problems, He knows who you are, He knows everything you've ever done, but He's seeing a new walk in you. He's seeing a new day with you, and He's saying, you know, He's getting it. She's getting it. I'm going to help her out. I'm going to help him out. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to bless him a little. I'm going to push him along and let him see the good things in God. Amen? That's God. And the other thing, and this is just as important, you're running a race. Anybody ever watch a race? You ever run a race? Anything, anything, baseball, whatever you're doing physically. Basketball, Greg and I watch basketball. At the end of the game, you're what? You're tired. at the end of the race. You got one more mile to go. What are you? You're tired. Amen? You're tired. You're weak. Amen? You're right there. The blessing is right there at that door. I can see it. I go through that door and I'm blessed. I've been running and I get, but I'm tired. I'm tired. Now I look back and say, I forget the blessings that got me to right here. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I forgot the blessings that God got me from all the way back there in the forest, right here, and all I got to do is go down that red carpet through that door. But I'm tired. I got nothing left. I'm tired. And then you give up. And you stop trying. And you stop focusing on God. You start focusing on yourself. I'm tired. Nobody cares. Nobody saw. Wait a minute. What about all the things that happened to get you to right here? It might have been a year. It could have been 2 years. It could have been 2 days. Whatever battle you're going through, maybe it's daily. Maybe you get up tired. Maybe you get home tired. Maybe it's daily. You say, I'm tired. I can't give up. I got to remember that God got me right here. All I got to do is go through that door. Let me tell you somebody else who was tired. Jesus. 40 days. No food, no water. Tempted. And then tempted by the devil. That's what the temptation was all about. That's what Lent is all about. That's what giving up is all about for those 40 days. The remembering Jesus on those 40 days where he didn't eat and he didn't sleep and he didn't drink. And the devil came to him in his weakest moment. He was tired. Amen? You're running the race. You're so close. I've seen it time and time again. Christians get so every dream, every little dream that they have, all of a sudden, they want it all now. And they're ready to lose everything that God has blessed them with because they want it all. They think that now is the time for it all. Amen? They're tired. Their mind isn't working properly anymore. They've forgotten the blessings that people have given. They've forgotten the prayers answered on the battle. They've forgotten all the things that God has done and the people that have lifted them. People who have lifted them up. They've gone to church every Sunday and the people are lifting them up and we're with you and we're praying with you. But their battle is right there. And they're tired. And that's where a lot of Christians lose it, Miss Pat. They get tired. And they pull it down. I'm just going to do my own thing. It's just not, I'm just tired and I'm going to do my own thing. And everything that they gained, the devil steals from them. Amen? Everything that they gained, the devil will steal because he's waiting. He's waiting for you to look back. Amen? The devil's waiting for you to take some of that garbage and bring it up. He's waiting. He said, I know he's going to do it. I know she's going to do it. And the second she does it, I got him and God loses. Amen? You are conquerors. Could you say that with me? Say, I am a conqueror. I am a conqueror. I win the battle with God. I am a conqueror through Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? These battles that we fight every day, we're all in it together. The race that we run every day, run it to win it. Dress how you dress to be people to look at you and say, well, look at that. Dress as nice as you can. I don't say to wear dresses and suit and tie. I said, but dress to look good. Talk to look good. Act to look good. Wherever you go, you're representing God. Represent Him good. Amen? Not the way you think you should represent Him. Represent Him the way God says to represent Him. Amen? With love and with kindness and with compassion on the other person. Not with, well, I want, I know what I want. Well, good. God knows what you want too, but He wants to see the compassion. He wants to see the humble. He wants to be able to pull you through those two doors and you can say, God, you've given me a new day. You've given me a new life each and every day. The battle is not yours. It's God's, but you have to fight the battle. Amen? He's going to be with you every step of the way. I've told you before. Sometimes He's not going to answer prayers like that. He's going to say, okay, you want that prayer? Take my hand. Let's walk through the fire together. Because He wants you to be a player, Bernie. He wants you to be a player. He wants you to be a player so you can tell others, you know what God did for me? I understand your pain. You know what God did for me? Because I was there. Whatever, you all can touch different people because you're all different. Cassie's here today, and Lydia's here today, and the young children, the young children, call them children. No, they're beautiful children. They can touch kids at school that I can't touch. They can talk to somebody tomorrow about God that wouldn't even talk to me for 30 seconds. You see? We all have that. We all have that to do. You keep winning those prizes with God. You keep winning those races with God, and He'll lift you up. Amen? And then as He lifts you up, you'll pull those you love around you. You lift them up. Give Him praise and glory, church. Run the race. Amazing Grace. How many know that song? You know it's not in the Bible? Is it? But it's a beautiful song that touches you where? Because God lives where? In your heart. He doesn't live here. Thank God. He lives here. In your heart. He lives right here. The Spirit of God is right here in your heart. Forgetting the things that are behind you. Amen. Moving forward. Running the race. And the guy's running the race. He gets to mile 20. He doesn't think about mile 15 anymore. Amen. He's been there, done that. When he gets to mile 25, he doesn't think of mile 22. He's been there, done that. Amen. That mile 22 didn't do him any good. It's winning the race that wins it. Amen. That's what does good. You're running the race every day with Jesus. Ahead for the prize every day. Hallelujah. This celebration now, this memorial celebration we do in our church is just the same as a salvation call. Amen? It's simple. People get worried. Don't get caught up in the things that, little technicalities. This is salvation. Simply remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. Amen? This is a beautiful time for you. A beautiful time for you to talk to God. Not to the person, not to the left or the right, the people you love. This is a perfect time for you to talk to God. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to talk to you. This is we're going to be so close right now. We're going to do what Jesus told us to do. And remember, and I've said this before, when Jesus was with his disciples this night, and he told them and blessed the bread and broke it and said, this is my body being torn for you, they still didn't understand. Amen? They didn't. You do. You have that understanding now. And Jesus said, this in remembrance of him. And sisters, sometimes when you're praying, you have the biggest prayer, you have the biggest battle, and you get a bad report, or it doesn't seem to be happening the way you want, or it doesn't seem to be happening the way you think God wants it to happen. Sometimes you get a little afraid. Amen? Sometimes it doesn't happen the way you want it to happen. So I'm praying to God, but he asked you to do three things, brothers and sisters. He asked you to ask. Then he asked you to seek. And then God sometimes said, sometimes you have to knock. And what is knocking? It's making noise. Amen? There are some times in our lives when we face battles where we have to knock. We have to get on our knees and ask God, as Elijah did, for it to rain again. Remember that, Bernie? And Elijah, when he had to get on his knees and put his head between his knees, pray for the rain to start. And he prayed once, he prayed twice, it didn't happen. He prayed three times, it didn't happen. He prayed four, he prayed seven times before the rain came. Amen? Sometimes we have to do that. I can't tell you why. I would be making something up if I told you why it has to be that way. But God has given you a way to get to the finish line. Amen? Don't grow weary while praying and while doing good. Don't get tired at the end of the race. Be strong when your answer comes. It's all because of him. All because of Jesus. For what he did for us. He took the bread and he blessed it and broke it. And he told his disciples, this is my body being going to be torn for you. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. In Jesus' name. Sometimes faith seems so hard when you're waiting. And I remember a pastor telling me once that maybe waiting is the hardest thing God's ever asked us to do. Because he said, if we just love his son, we're saved. We got eternal life with Jesus. He says, I'm there with you, and he answers prayers. But sometimes we have to wait. And that may be the hardest thing that our Lord and Savior ever asks of us, to wait, that faith walk, but run that battle, because he won't let you down. He took the wine and blessed it and poured it into a cup, and he told them, "This is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins, according to the book of Matthew." And then he said, "Drink and do this in remembrance of him." Deacon Chuck, the Bible says that when we are weakest, he is strongest. And that doesn't mean we walk in weakness. It said when we're finally at the end, when we're close to that battle, when we are weakest, when we get out of our own way, when it's only God that can get us through the door. Miss Karen, when it's God that can, and that's it, and you're so weak you got nothing left to fight with, that he said he can do what he said, and you don't block the blessing. You don't stop him. He carries you through because you're no longer fighting. You're just giving to him. You're surrendering all. According to the word of God, when you are weakest, he is strongest. Carry that with you. Carry this with you. Somebody raised their hand before and said, "Sometimes it feels like every day I'm fighting a battle." That's a good thing. You got a battle to fight, and fight it with God. Amen. It's a good thing. Every day you say, "I'm going to win today." You wake up, "I didn't win yesterday. I'm a day closer to winning today." That gives you strength to go the next mile. Say, "I'm close." It didn't happen yesterday, right, Miss Dale? All the things we prayed through with you in the last couple of years, and look at you. Look how everything, you're good. And you're, God is good, amen? And there's more. Don't stop there. There's more. You're going to do more than you thought before because God's got a job for you. He's got things and blessings. He's God, not me. I can't do it. But we're talking about God. Mr. George Minko, God loves you. You are a most compassionate man. You really are. Everybody who's been around know you're a very giving man. You do. And I don't want to hide it. You're going to be mad at me for giving that away. But you're a beautiful man. And let God let it shine in you. We have a beautiful church. Building a church in God's name. Bringing people to Christ. Amen. Not rules and regulations, but with joy and freedom to love him. He said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." He simply said to drink and do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. Give him praise now, church. Give him praise. The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. You want God in this house? I mean, you want God in your house? Where? You want God in your car? I'm not telling you you have to listen to Christian music 24/7. I love Merle Haggard, and I love listening to Merle Haggard. He, and I know some people like Elvis Presley, Gene, I'm not mentioning him. But you want God in your car. You want God in your house. You want God in your family. Praise God. Amen. Sit at the table with your family today. Say, "Wait a minute. Let's just say a little prayer before we eat." Say, 30, "Thank you, Lord, for this meal and thank you for my family." Just people, just give them a reason to stop and say, "Oh, okay, we'll pray." Amen. And I tell you, don't make it a 2-minute prayer and then want you to do it ever again. So you got to use a little wisdom. Hallelujah.